Well, welcome back, everyone, to Fans in the Pro. Mike Costos McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Then it's time for the Brian Kelly Show. Getting ready for LSU South Alabama tomorrow. Then at 7 o'clock, the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. And a great evening for high school football. At 5:20 this hour, we will speak with David Archer, former NFL quarterback and Atlanta Falcons radio color analyst. That's at 5:20. The Falcons and Saints, noon Central Time, 1 o'clock Eastern Time on Sunday. The Falcons will be in their throwback uniforms, their red helmets, black jerseys, kind of the off-white pants. So I guess the Saints will be in white, right? Saints will be maybe all white. I don't know. I guess they have to. What are they wearing? That's what I don't know.
Mike.
It's so much other stuff that we get to worry about. I'm definitely not worried about a uniform. And some people are. And I do apologize. But man,
it's the Saints actually usually put it out. I just haven't been paying attention.
They may have posted the uniform reveal. And you know something. I am of the thought frame now. Don't get me wrong. You look good. You play good. But what they wearing on Sunday has not crossed my mind one bit.
Well, I get to wear whatever I want because they lost on Sunday.
My routine
has been. I can wear different socks. I can wear different things, and so I'm not superstitious, but I sure as hell act like it.
I'm a creature of habit.
Yeah,
and I didn't wear the same thing. I was going with something different, but a lot of the things that I do throughout the week, even certain days, certain times, you kind of try to continue to do those, and they did lose. I did go about my normal work week as far as things that I did or do. Now I'll try to tweak it just a little bit to see if that helps to make sure that they win on Sunday.
Right, we're doing all we can do, right?
Correct.
So as we talked about earlier, don't forget Monday is that special edition of the Newell Norman Show, 10-1, as we kind of introduce the Pelicans basketball team. They'll be in Nashville for their training camp and, you know, all their games right here, Pelicans basketball, WWL, and Zion Williamson. He has a quote, "I'm out for straight vengeance this season." He started in 70 games. That was a career high for the forward. He also set new career highs in blocks, assists, tying a career high, steals per game. And I'm glad that my weight is not such a topic of a daily occurrence, but he's down about 270 in the article that I'm reading. After being listed at 284, he's been doing like these five drills a day in Little Elm, Texas, to get ready. And so, man, you love what you hear, you love what you see, and you love for him to be able to just 70 games. That's the key right there.
Well, I mean, even if he can get more than 70, I mean, right. it's even better. And so, you're looking for this team to take that next step. We thought we were close last year to taking that next step. Not quite, didn't quite happen. You were able to make a trade. You pick up Murray from Atlanta. So that you did lose some key pieces as far as depth is concerned. But you've got enough star power and frontline guys that can get the job done. Now the question obviously becomes, what do you do at center? Is it going to be a bunch of small ball, or will you be able to spread it out and, you know, use some of the guys that you have for stretches of 20 minutes, 30 minutes at that traditional center look or position, and then you decide to go small? But if this team can take that next step and get itself out of that play-in world where you're in the first, you win the first round, now you go to the second round. And with the new addition, obviously with us being able to broadcast the games, you're talking about in the daytime alone, it's what, five states?
Yeah, well, yeah. 50,000 watts.
Yeah, and then at night it goes to what, 30 plus states? And so now fans across the United States will get to hear the Pelicans, and then with the deal, we'll give some love to Fox 8 and Gray, being able to broadcast those games to the, and I won't call it the local market.
It's more of a regional kind of.
It's a region. Yeah. I mean, and so the eyes and the ears, and there's still a pretty good following already for the Pelicans, but just from our local region of seeing, you're going to almost, quadruple that. And it's really higher than that. I mean, because from a listening standpoint, people from all over can hear it. Now, from a seeing it standpoint, I mean, you're going up into like Alexandria, you're going up into Jackson. I mean, and it's one thing to say, oh yeah, that was a national game. No, this is every game,
right?
You know, and so I think to grow the brand, the only thing left is to win.
What about, I've never seen a situation with, or maybe I have, I shouldn't say that, Brandon Ingram. Like, it is a daily.
It's there.
Just throw that name out with any team, any three team, whatever you want to do.
No, it's there. And they're going to try to handle it in the most professional way. I put it like that. It's there. And it's been there for a while, and I don't know if it's going to get solved by Monday. I don't know if it'll get solved by next week. But you know it's there. I don't think Brandon or the organization will allow it to tear down what they're trying to do.
Looking forward to it. Open the season, regular season, October 23rd against Chicago. They have four preseason games, and then home on Chicago, 7 o'clock on October 23rd. Got to take a break. We'll get you back to the Saints and the Falcons, the big matchup on Sunday. David Archer, the former NFL quarterback, Atlanta Falcons radio color analyst, will join us. Take a break here on Fans of the Pro, right here on WWLAMFM.com and always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Fans of the Pro. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We are now joined by Dave Archer, former NFL quarterback and Atlanta Falcons radio color analyst. Dave, welcome to the show. You're on with Mike and Deuce.
Mike, Deuce, good to be with you guys. Yeah, it's the Saints-Falcons week is unbelievable. As you guys and Deuce and I both had a chance to play in this series, and it's a big-time operation, no question.
So, Dave, before we get too deep into the football aspect, I'm not sure where you live full-time. If you're in Atlanta, I know you were born in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I guess just from a Hurricane Helene standpoint, what that region is like and kind of what everybody's going through. It feels like football takes a back seat as it well should.
Yeah, it's been interesting, Mike, in that obviously the storm came up through the panhandle of Florida and kind of went straight through Atlanta, through Georgia, up through Atlanta, and it kind of swept through the northeast side of the city. I mean, there's nobody that knows more about what hurricane can do than certainly New Orleans does, and certainly we've got a little bit of the brunt of it, but it was diminished significantly coming through, and we had 25, 35 mile, 40 mile an hour winds, but nothing that would compare to what the people in New Orleans had to endure. So we were fortunate. I mean, there's some areas that got hit pretty hard, but nothing to the level, I think, that what we saw way back into, 2006 or whatever, when New Orleans got hit. So we're fortunate. I know there's some people that are struggling a little bit, but we're trying to, surge forward.
Well, that's good to hear. I appreciate that, and we appreciate the update. There's a lot of huge rivalries in this game, but when it comes to storms, you know, we're all in that together, so thanks.
Yeah, Dave, and I guess, you know, when you talk about from a preparation standpoint, did the Falcons have to change any of their preparation, even moving a meeting back or up, or, you know, from a player standpoint, hey, you know, you guys have to take care of everything at home, or was that never even an issue?
Yeah, I don't think, Deuce, the things that were affected significantly here, they have an indoor facility, so they were able to practice inside. I think they were on premises from what I understand, and based on what I experienced, having been out there a few times, that I don't think they were affected by their preparation to a certain extent. So I think that they were able to dial in and get ready for this game, no question.
Yeah, and so leading and talking about this game, you know, just tell us how the team feels about what they've done the first couple of weeks in the season, and then, you know, just we'll get into the details as far as this upcoming matchup with the Saints, but, you know, just the excitement, hey, we've got to play better, you know, different things like that, and, you know, just some of the additions that they've been able to add.
Well, they're concerned certainly about what New Orleans brings to the table, the explosiveness that New Orleans can provide from an offensive standpoint, certainly with Alvin Kamara and sort of Rashid Shaheed and Chris Olave, and what they can do offensively, and the hard-hitting defense. I mean, I don't know that I've seen Deuce a physical game as early on in the season as I saw from Philly and New Orleans in that weekend, that game last weekend. I thought both teams played extremely physically. Obviously, they didn't come out on the New Orleans side of things, but I thought both teams got after each other physically. And Atlanta's going to have to match the physicality that New Orleans brings to the table. And I think they're concerned about that. There's some adjustments they're going to have to make along their offensive line with some guys get a little bit banged up. And with Carl Granderson and what he's been able to do and what Brian Brzee and what he's been able to do, of course, you got the venerable one and Cam Hayward. So I think that there's some concern as to what they can do along the offensive line with some of the injuries they have along the offensive line. So, I mean, this is going to be a classic, you know, Falcons-Saints battle. You know, there's always been guys banged up. Deuce, you played in a lot of these games where guys are banged up and the next guy has to step up. And Atlanta, this is one of the more important games Atlanta's had. I think early on in the season, when you talk about losing two games at home, they lost two games in their own building. So, you know, New Orleans coming in this weekend and, of course, the Tampa Bay Bucs coming on Thursday night. Really big sequence for Atlanta to try to keep pace with what's going on in the North, when the NFC South, to be able to handle what's going on in these two games at home.
I was curious. They lose week one, and then, you know, kind of a tough one. Pittsburgh comes in, and that was tough, I'm sure, to swallow. And I'm wondering just kind of if you think of that game-winning drive for Kirk Cousins, right? They beat Philadelphia in a game that analytically should have lost. But how that changed the narrative. I mean, if they're 0-3 right now, like, I got to feel like their Falcons fans are ready to unload on Kirk Cousins. But that one drive just changed everything, or did it? I don't know where Falcons fans are. It was a gritty performance against Kansas City, but you still lost, right? I mean, so I just didn't know, where's their head?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, and you know, you look at the three games that they've lost, or two games they lost and one game they've won. You probably look at the fact that you could probably be 3-0, you could be 0-3, and I don't think there's any question about that. So I think that you got to kind of push that in the rearview mirror, and you got to look at, you got three divisional games coming up. Yeah, New Orleans obviously this weekend. You got Tampa on Thursday night, and you got the following weekend over a 10-day period. You got Carolina coming in, or you got to go to Carolina. So you got three divisional games that have a tremendous amount of impact on what you look like and how you feel about yourself. So regardless of how the first three games went, certainly a good win in Philly, not one you counted on. But a Kansas City loss that you feel good about, but you lost. So, I mean, this New Orleans game, I think you slide all the first three games out of the way and you start thinking about these three games coming up. And I think this is probably as good, as important a game as Atlanta's had in the first four games of the season than I can remember. I mean, I've been doing the games for 20 years. I can't remember a game that's as important as the New Orleans game coming up this weekend.
Well, we are looking forward to it ourselves. You know, these teams, very big rivals, bitterly matched, and, you know, the record, if you look at the 110 games, however you want to look at it. So I'm hope that everything can get back on their feet there in Georgia. We appreciate your time, Dave Archer, and we will see you on Sunday in Atlanta.
Always good to talk to you guys, man. Deuce and I have played in a bunch of these games, and there's never – there's never a time when they don't mean important. There's some importance attached to them. So I appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Dave.
Take a break. Fans in the Pro, Mike Cost, Deuce McAllister back after this. WWL AM/FM, always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Cost, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Then it'll be the Brian Kelly Show. Then, of course, the 7 o'clock staple in the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. We want to thank Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine-in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. We thank them for feeding our Saints broadcast team. Go to the Oakland Heart Talking text line, and James has been patiently waiting. James, you're a Friday staple for us, and you always have a lot to say. So what do you got for us pre-Atlanta?
So thanks for, I guess, the salute there. But
yeah, that was a salute. I wasn't being, you know. Yeah. We appreciate it. You've been patient.
I know you could be a little bit on the other side of that, but either way, listen, the Chiefs have been, or rather Atlanta, averaged 22% on third down, and they want to fix that. The best way they want to do that, I would imagine, would be running the ball to number seven, the other number seven. I really want to talk about these dagger concepts. I guess that don't really matter right now. But, you know, Deuce said something earlier about us wanting to go up the middle. Well, they want to go up the middle as well. You know, we got Landon Young in there starting that guard. And to be told, I never said this on this particular with the two of you, but I've never thought Landon Young, when I saw him at practice, was a left tackle or a right tackle. I thought his best position would be guard inside because he keeps getting beat inside. So I'm glad he's going to play guard. I just didn't want him to play guard in the biggest game, you know, of the season for most of the fans right now.
Well, that's not a formality that Landon's going to be at your guard. He's one of your options, and Landon actually had never played guard. He's always been a tackle.
Yeah, I get that, but he's a real. I could beat him going outside. So he's better. He's better at guard.
James.
Yeah.
You're being facetious, right? You can't be serious.
I am, but I'm saying he stinks at tackle. You know, for the kind of tackle I want a guy with dancing feet at left tackle.
How many tackles? How many of those are truly in the NFL, though? Honestly.
Okay, so you know.
No. How many are truly a dancing left tackle with feet like that? How many do you truly think are in the NFL?
Less than 10.
I would probably agree with
less than, yeah.
Everybody can't do that, though. That's what I'm saying. Everybody can't do it.
But you can't force a hole. What is it? A round hole in a square peg. You can't always do that. So you know, you're damaging the quarterback. But anyways, listen. Here's my speech. Boxing is my favorite sport. Right? It's my favorite sport outside of watching the Saints play. And this game is a boxing match. I mean, you could forget about. We could talk about our intricacies, stopping the dagger round. By the way, I would rather see. Kool-Aid play Howden's position, but the bottom line is this is going to be a fight. Who's got the most heart? This is going to be a fight. Derrick's got to show toughness. Like, he's 10 years in and threw that ball at the end of the game. Come on, man. And I think I honestly think we could win this, but it's got to be about heart. It's got to be about heart. They're going to want to pound AK just like Deion Jones. We could go on and on about some of the things, you know, that's going on in Atlanta games. But they're going to want to pile on him. And Taysom is what, 10-4, 12-4 when he plays Atlanta? I mean, this is a Taysom game. If it weren't for him, I think we could have beat the Eagles. If it weren't for him not playing, I should say that. I think he could have beat the Eagles. But what's your feeling on Houghton? Because I think he's a screw-up right now. And I'd rather see the best guys in our secondary. And one of the best guys out there is the rookie. I think he's better. You know, I think at the end of the day, I think he's going to be a better safety than he will be a corner. But Yeah, I get it. You want to play him at corner, but right now, I'd rather see him take Houghton snaps. What's your thoughts on that?
Mr. James, I appreciate you, and you know it's always good for you for us to hear from you and talk to you and get your thoughts on it. You know, I do agree with you. There are not a lot of guys that can go out there and they have the feet to play the left tackle position. I mean, you have a lot of good ones, but to say that you want a guy that can go out there and dance, man, it just doesn't happen. And so, you know, this will be a physical matchup. You know, this will be a physical matchup for both teams, and I think, you know, for the Saints. You've been in those situations, and I hadn't watched Atlanta live to say, oh, yeah, they can match the intensity. I know that they've got some guys over there that can do it, but it's going to be a situation where they're going to have to go out there and show it. So from that standpoint, we'll kind of see what happens. And with the throw, Derek knows it. I mean, he even spoke about it after the game. That's a situation where I get rid of the ball. I don't, you know, try to make that play in that situation because you still have a timeout. You still have time on the clock. And, you know, I just can't trust a guy in that situation, particularly with the traffic in the middle of the field. And so, you know, that's one where he wish he has it back. And the situation with Howden, I think that Howden just, you know, you've got to make a better angle. You've got to make a play and understand the situation, understand what you're seeing. I'm not comfortable yet as far as putting all of that on Kool-Aid for him to be able to play the slot, to play outside, and now he's going to move to safety. It's one thing to say, oh, yeah, he can do it. Yeah, he's a talented enough player to do it, but are you really helping him short or long term? And I think Howden is probably your best answer at that safety position, particularly with some of the things that you want to do. You know, and now if we're talking 3 years down the line, that may be a little bit different. But, I mean, Kool-Aid, what is this, game four?
Right. He didn't take any defensive snaps last week. He took four special team snaps.
Well, no, but I'm just saying for NFL, rookie. Yeah. You're yeah. a rookie. Game
right.
four.
Right.
You know. Game four for him. And so to say, oh, I'm going to switch positions, which you can handle it, you know, man, that's not fair to that young man. And so we'll see what they do. We'll see what they change up. They're going to have some injuries on the back end, you know, particularly with DeMario. And you got some other guys that have been dealing with some stuff, not necessarily on the defensive side of the ball. But, you know, Tyron's dealt with the heel. But, you know, we'll kind of see what they do and how they try to – use some of those guys offensively and Taysom. Taysom's got to come up big. Taysom's got to come up big for you. He's got to have the opportunities as well, though.
And situational football. I mean, James started this, and he was right.
Well, Atlanta's been horrible on third down.
Right. 6 of 27, 22%, 29th in the league, 3 of 6 on fourth down. But red zone, again, 4 of 9. 22%. I mean, when you kind of struggle on third down, you're probably struggling in the red zone.
Well, and here's the other thing. It's not just third and short.
No.
It's been third and medium. It's been third and long that they've struggled on third down. And when you look at some of the things that they're saying, they're just saying, hey, we're not on the same page or we have to execute a little bit better. But it's not just third one and two or third and three and below. They're struggled in all phases as far as third downs. And so for the Saints, they've got to get them in third and medium, third and long. You've got to win on first down, really, if you're the Saints, to be able to get them to those third down situations where they just feel a little bit uncomfortable.
Right, as you were saying. So Atlanta on third and one and two, third and short, they're 0 of 3. On third and medium, 3 to 5 yards, they're 3 of 10. On third and 6 to 10 yards, they're 3 of 8. And on third and long, plus 10, 0 for 6.
Yeah.
And where Cousins in Atlanta have been fairly strong has been first down. You got to win that first down battle. You didn't offensively or defensively last week. Didn't do – that was not your strength.
Yeah, I think in the trenches, the Saints, they lost out. Now, they do get Colin Sanders.
Yeah, full practice.
Yeah, well, you get him back. So yep. He should make his debut, and he should help your run defense tremendously. Now you have to watch it as far as snaps, just because he is coming back off of that calf yeah. injury.
A lot of calf injuries.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, he should help the run defense, and you know, hopefully helps with some of that push inside as well.
Take a quick break. Come back, get some final thoughts as we work our way to the Brian Kelly Show at 6 o'clock. Thanks for calling, James. Back after this. This is Fans in the Pro. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, WWLAMFM.com. Always free in the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. And we are not going to spend a lot of time on this subject because I know he does not want to. Deuce McAllister, can you give me some stock picks, man? Can you give me something? Because you just feel it, right? You just sometimes you just feel it. You predict things before they're going to happen. So
the market is closed. The market is closed. So we have zero stock picks.
And so the here's the question.
The S&P 500 and the it is up though. So.
Would you prefer Nostradamus or Deustradamus? There are nicknames for you floating out there, and I said I'm going to ask Deuce today, and he won't want to talk about it because he's too humble.
I prefer a W. That's what I want to talk about. I prefer a W. It's luck. That's what we'll go with. It's luck.
Well, the Shahid was. I mean, you know, okay. I you're a football guy. You see things I do not see. Now the turnover, I'm like, well, yeah, they're kind of getting after him, but I don't know that I could see that. Well, 30 seconds later on the very next play, I mean, it was just that. That's a little freaky. That's where you got me.
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes you just lock in and you lock just into the game and you just feel it, and it's just like, man, I can see some stuff, or you see some, you see it happening. I mean, and it's literally, it's like we watch the kickers before the games. Yeah. And most people are like, oh, the kicker's just kicking. What do you mean? Right. No, I want to see how far he's kicking. You know, if we're in a stadium, San Francisco, which way is the wind blowing? I mean, because for us, even for a coach, somebody better be watching it. Somebody better be watching it. I mean, because all the things that happen before a game, they're not just happening to happen. Sometimes you may pick up just one thing, and as much film as these guys watch and look at, a lot of times the players will tell you kind of what they're going to do. You just got to see it. They're not working on – this guy's not working on week 7, and he's getting ready to play week 3. He is working on something that potentially to be able to use. And I truly believe, going back, that Elliott – hits that kick if the ball is in the middle of the field.
Right. Now, that's where I was going, because people don't, you know, you're watching Jake Elliott before the game. Now, we're in a dome stadium. It probably shouldn't matter which direction you're going, but he was decidedly different going in one direction, and it was decidedly different going from the middle of the field versus hash marks.
The middle of the field, Mike, we saw him back up. He hit a 60-yarder, but guess where the ball was? In the middle of the field. He backed up to 65, and he kicked it twice in the middle of the field. When he put that ball on that right hash at 60, guess what it did?
Drifted off to the right.
It drifted off to the right. And then you go into the game,
right?
Guess what it does?
Yep.
It was no different. Flipped it around. I think it was like 52 to 50. I think it was a 50 or a 52-yarder. He missed the first two kicks. It was until the third kick that he hit that he moved back. I mean, but me and you sat, but the ball was on the left hash. Me and you sat there and watched it. Now, you may call us crazy. Like, what are y'all doing?
Well, I remember what I asked you, because you and I are watching this. Hey, that guy hit from 65, you know. But I was curious as to what do the coaches do with that information? Do they care or they don't care?
They do care.
They do care. That was the question I asked.
Yeah, Sunday. No, they do care. And right. So, here. Peter, Coach Pete,
Genta.
Pete Genta goes and watch the other team's defensive backs. It's like, wait, he's a Saints assistant defensive back. But if he can go and watch those other defensive backs, it may be something as simple as them catching the ball. It may be something as simple of them, hey, this guy doesn't catch it clean. You know, this guy has dropped. How he's dropping. Going to the left, he may drop a certain way. Going to the right, it's not the same. So you're looking for any little small thing that you can pick up. Some guy may be out there. He may be over doing some hip exercises. Well, he's trying to get his hips a little loose. Okay. Well, that's the same guy that was Judon. Let's say Judon. If we see Judon, that tells me that he still has some issue with his hamstring. So if you're not looking for the smallest edges and details, you're cheating yourself.
So this will be a gut check, right? I mean, this is going to be you play with who you get. You got what you got, and who's hurt, who's hurt. It's 60 minutes, and you know, it's
How many do you get to dress?
48.
That's who I got. I'm going to try to get the best 48 and go try to win a game. 60
minutes and just, you know.
If you have to gut it out, you have to gut it out. I'll give you Monday off, but you got to figure out a way to find a win.
It's a big one. The 2-1 Saints and the 1-2 Atlanta Falcons. Falcons will stay in the NFC South. The Saints, of course, go to Kansas City for a Monday night affair. It's a big one, of course, as they all are in the NFC South, because the Saints on week 10 play Atlanta again. Then they're done the NFC South until final week of the season. My thanks to Charlie Long in the booth, as always, to Deuce McAllister. We will look forward to seeing you and hearing from you on Sunday from Atlanta. Have a great afternoon, everybody. The Brian Kelly show is up next here on WWL, AMFM.com, and always free on the Odyssey app.